Describe the banyan tree of the material world, which was nourished by the three modes of material nature. And the topmost part of the tree was nourished by Sattva-gun, the celestial divine personalities reside in the higher planets. And the lower part of the tree is nourished by the lower modes, passion and ignorance. So now chapter 16 is describing those qualities which are developed both at the topmost part and the lowermost part of this banyan tree, divine and demoniac. And Krishna begins by describing the divine qualities, 26 of them, coincidentally. Why is everyone looking out the door? There are some devotees hovering about. Remember what I said? Everyone's very easily distracted. But the Vaishnav qualities is also 26. Yes, I think that's true. 26 is the magic number for good qualities. So this chapter will describe how by following Shastra and Varnashram, one can develop the mode of goodness and come to the topmost part of the banyan tree and develop these divine qualities. And what are the benefits of those divine qualities? And if one doesn't, if he allows himself to be influenced by the lower modes of nature, he will develop the demoniac qualities, and he will therefore derive a very horrible result, which is described at the end of the chapter. Okay, let us now chant the first three verses, which is the introduction to the chapter.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha Abhayam Sattva Sangshudhir Jnana Yoga Vyavastitihi Dharam Damascha Yagyascha Svadhyaya Starva Arjavam Ahimsa Satyama Krodhas Syaga Shantira Payashunam Daya Bhuteshvalo Lutvam Mardavam Vrira Chapalam Tejakshama dhritikshavsham adroho nati manita bhavanti sambaram daivim avijatasya bharata.
Supreme Personality of God had said, fearlessness, purification of one's existence, cultivation of spiritual knowledge, charity, self-control, performance of sacrifice, study of the Vedas, austerity, simplicity, non-violence, truthfulness, freedom from anger, renunciation, tranquility, aversion to fault-finding, compassion for all living entities, freedom from covetousness, gentleness, modesty, steady determination, vigor, forgiveness, fortitude, cleanliness, and freedom from envy and from the passion for honor. These transcendental qualities, O son of Bharat, belong to godly men endowed with divine nature. So this chapter explains the fruits of the banyan tree described in chapter 15. So both the good and the bad fruits are described. Here the good fruits are listed. 26 good fruits, sweet fruits. Beginning with fearlessness, abhayam. And these are listed in some reference to the Varnashram system. The first line, or the first two lines, the first two padas of the shloka, is meant for sannyasis. Abhayam, fearlessness, is the first one, and sattva samshuddhi, purification of one's existence. So this Prabhupada describes how the sannyasis must be fearless, and they should be able to go and live alone in the forest or mountains, or so forth, without being afraid of animals and about maintenance and so forth, so many things. Because when someone is off of the bodily platform, then he doesn't have that fear. Vayam dvitiya vinideshita syat. But when he sees, when he thinks that I'm this body, and there are things separate from the Supreme Lord, then he becomes fearful. So when one's situated in self-realization, then he doesn't have any fear whatsoever, and he can fully fulfill the vows of the fourth order. And their main existence is purification of existence. Sattva means existence. Like sat, chit, ananda. Jnana yoga vivastiti. They're situated in jnana yoga. They realize they practice austerities and they realize they're not the body. Then the next line is for the grihastas. Dhanam, dhammas, cha yagyas cha. Dhanam, they give charity, 50% of their wealth, to propagate God consciousness. And dhamma, they control the senses, particularly the internal senses, the mind. Of course, everyone has to control their senses, all orders, but particularly the grihastas must do so because they're in contact with a member of the opposite gender. So they must control their mind and senses. Otherwise, they will engage in irreligious activities. And yagya, they perform sacrifices. So this is meant especially for the grihastha, because, well, yagya and dana, they should sacrifice their wealth to please the Lord. Because, why? Because they're very attached. They're, to so many things, they're attached to their home, to their nice food, to their pretty wife, and the wife to their nice pretty saris, and everything in the home, children, their pet cow, and so many things. So that attachment is there. So in order to break that attachment, giving in charity, and giving and performing sacrifices is necessary. Huh? And then sadhyaya, Vedic study is meant for the brahmacharis. This is one of the main things that brahmacharis do, or are supposed to do. Of course, brahmacharis also are meant for collecting alms for the spiritual master. So that's part of it. Why do they collect alms? Well, because the spiritual master needs lots of money. The reason is that because it helps the student to develop humility and tolerance, which are fundamental religious qualities in any tradition. So all students should do this in order to develop those qualities. It's for the student's own benefit. It's not because, you know, the guru needs lots of money so that he can enjoy life. So they beg alms, but main thing here is mentioned svadhyaya, study of the Vedas. Why? Because the three higher orders, Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, and Brahmins, in order for them to do anything in their life, to be successful, they have to understand the scripture. That helps them understand who is a sadhu, who is a guru. It helps them understand how to act, how to think, how to have discrimination, how to control their senses. All knowledge is given in the Vedas. So when someone is a student from a very young age, komarat acharat pragyo dhyamam bhagavata aniha, then he should study the Vedas in the gurukul, under the guidance of the guru. And then the manaprastha, he performs tapa. That's the next one in the fourth pada of the first shloka. Tapa. Those austerities are delineated in more detail in the what is it, seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, how they wear tree bark and they eat boiled vegetables, half boiled vegetables or fruit that falls from the tree, or when they wake up in the morning, whatever direction they wake up in, that direction that they will beg. Not like this. Or whatever stock of grains they acquire, when they acquire their new stock, they will throw away the, give away the old stock. There's different levels of vanaprastha, austerity. And then arjavam, which is the last quality in the first shloka, is meant for all. It means simplicity, straightforwardness, being frank, like this, not crooked, not deceitful, arjavam, simple, straightforward. And then the other qualities are meant for everyone. Non-violence, truthfulness, freedom from anger, renunciation, peacefulness, all of these. And then in the last shloka, there's a few other specific qualities mentioned for the varnas, not the ashrams, but for the varnas. Teja, that's power, means for the kshatriya, it's meant to be powerful. Kshama, driti, that's for everyone. And then shaucham, cleanliness is also for everyone, but particularly it's for the vaishyas. They have to practice cleanliness. Prabhupada mentions this in his commentary, if you're wondering. Of course, the vaishyas, they get involved with in the black market, as they say. So in order to purify themselves, they have to practice cleanliness. And cleanliness is next to godliness, so it's for everybody. Everyone should try to be clean. In the 12th canto, it mentions that in Kali Yuga, brahmacharis are dirty, the grihasthas have no money, they're beggars, the vanaprasthas live in the city, and the sannyasis are very wealthy. And Prabhupada also said brahmachari means dirty. Not supposed to mean like that, but because wherever he went, he saw the brahmachari's ashram, copins hanging everywhere, and books on the floor, and plates of prasadam in the corner, everything filthy. So he made this comment. Then the last one, nati manita, means not desiring honor from others. And that is meant particularly for the Shudra, because the Shudra, he must serve the others, the other three high classes. So therefore, if he's proud, then he won't be able to do his duty. He has to be humble. So one should develop the qualities according to his varna and ashram. Of course, the general qualities should be developed by everyone. But there are specific things meant for specific orders and stages of life. Prabhupada says these are transcendental qualities. We'll read the first paragraph of his commentary. In the beginning of the 15th chapter, the banyan tree of this material world was explained. The extra roots coming out of it were compared to the activities of the living entities, some auspicious, some inauspicious. In the 9th chapter also, the devas or godly and the asuras, the ungodly or demons, were explained. It's also mentioned in the 7th chapter, those who surrender and those who don't surrender. So Krishna has already discussed comparing the two, divine and demoniac, before. Now, according to Vedic rites, the activities and the modes of goodness are considered auspicious for the progress on the path of liberation, and such activities are known as Daivi Prakriti, the transcendental by nature. Those who are situated in the transcendental nature make progress on the path of liberation, For those who are acting in the modes of passion and ignorance, on the other hand, there is no possibility of liberation. Either they will have to remain in this material world as human beings, or they will descend among the species of animals, or even lower life forms. In this 16th chapter, the Lord explains both the transcendental nature and its attendant qualities, and the demoniac nature and its qualities. He also explains the advantages and disadvantages of these qualities. Okay, then he explains all of them. And then at the end of the commentary, he mentions, all these 26 qualifications mentioned are transcendental qualities. They should be cultivated according to the different statuses of social and occupational order. So they're meant to be cultivated. The purport is that even though material conditions are miserable, if these qualities are developed by practice by all classes of men, then gradually it is possible to rise to the highest platform of transcendental realization. So by practicing these qualities in particular order or stage of life you're in, then you can come to the mode of goodness. This is the purpose of the practicing all of these things. Okay. Now, for the demoniac qualities. Are you ready? Dambho dharpo vimanascha krodha parusham evacha agyanam javijatasya partha sampadamasurim. Pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness, and ignorance. These qualities belong to those of demoniac nature, O son of Pritha. Six big ones. There they are. I always wondered, what's the difference between pride, arrogance, and conceit? Did you also question this? Because in English, basically, they're more or less the same. Pride, arrogance, and conceit. It's very little difference between these, isn't it? But actually, Prabhupada describes the difference in the commentary. And each sentence of the commentary is describing one of the qualities. The first sentence is just a general sentence. That this here, the royal road to hell is described. Now he begins describing in order each quality. The first one, dambho, which means pride, means ostentation, kind of like flashy, showy, like this. Prabhupada says, the demoniac want to make a show of religion and advancement in spiritual science, although they do not follow the principles. So that's the meaning of dumbo. It sounds very similar to the English word dumb, as foolish. Dumbo. So someone who is proud like this, he's very foolish. He's dumb. He's a dumbo. You can remember that, you know. Then darpo. And darpo means the person is proud of his education or high birth or wealth or beauty, something like this. Okay, the next sentence. They are always arrogant or proud of possessing some type of education or so much wealth. Right? And then last one, abhiman, conceit, means the person feels that he should be worshipped by others. So then Prabhupada explains this one. They desire to be worshipped by others and demand respectability, although they do not command respect. So those are the differences. It's actually everything Prabhupada says in the commentary is, it's a sutra explaining the verse. It's always like that. It's very, the way he writes the commentary is very scientific. And sometimes you can't tell. It seems very simple, the way he's writing, but it's not. It's very deep. But it takes some, you have to, when you study deeper, then you'll understand what Prabhupada's doing. And then you appreciate even more these books. It's very orderly. Then he describes, before we go further, the words cha, which mean and, are sometimes understood by the previous acharyas to explain. So here the first cha means greed, lust, and frivolousness, and other bad qualities. Greed, lust, and frivolousness, or being whimsical. And the second cha is very slight demoniac qualities, like being impatient, which are not, mentioned, but this is the implication. Then ajnana, which means ignorance, Prabhupada explains. I skipped the line. Krodha, anger. Over trifles, they become very angry and speak harshly, not gently. So over trifles, they become angry. And when you become angry, what do? Parushyam. Parushyam means harshness of speech. Harshness, particularly of speech. So then they speak harshly, not gently. And then ajnanam means they don't know what to do. They're in ignorance. Prabhupada explains, they do not know what should be done and what should not be done. They do everything whimsically according to their own desire. And they do not recognize any authority. So this is ajnanam. So somebody who has these demoniac qualities, he doesn't know what to do and what not to do. And this is described later in more detail. He has no discrimination. Why? Because he doesn't study the Shastra. He doesn't appreciate the Shastra. He has no faith in the Shastra, so he doesn't study it. Therefore, he doesn't know what's good and what's bad. So he can't discriminate, because he hasn't developed the higher mode of goodness, which is the mode of discrimination. So he's a jnana. And Prabhupada explains that these demoniac qualities are taken on by them from the beginning of their bodies, in the wombs of their mothers. Right? Chavijatasya. One is born with these qualities. Right? One is born with these qualities. In the womb of the mother, they have these qualities. And then, as they grow, they manifest these bad qualities. So sometimes sociologists, they present, or criminologists sometimes present a theory that a person develops bad qualities from his environment. You know, if someone's in the ghetto, then he becomes an evil person. If he's living in a very low-class area, there's lots of crime and drug abuse and prostitution. But it's not necessarily so. Of course, the fact that he's born in such a place is due to his karma also. But it's not just the environment. Of course, the environment is not helpful, but it's not the cause. The cause is his previous life. He has these things right from his birth, and they just manifest as he grows up. Next shloka. Please let us chant together. Daivi sampadme mokshaya nibandhaya surimata mashu cha sambalam daivim abhijato sipam davahum. The transcendental qualities are conducive to liberation, whereas the demoniac qualities make for bondage. Do not worry, O son of Pandu, for you are born with divine qualities. So here, Arjuna, after hearing the demoniac qualities, he became a little worried. So Krishna spoke this verse to cool him down. In the commentaries, Arjuna says, but what are my qualifications, Krishna? Do I possess these demoniac qualities? In the past, I've become angry and I've spoken harshly to my superiors. And now I'm about to kill my relatives. Do I have these qualities? Then Krishna says, O Pandava, Kshatriya by birth, you are born in the great Kuru dynasty. You do not have these demoniac qualities. And this activity of killing for a Kshatriya is ordained by Shastra. So for you it's religious. It's not demoniac for you. However, violence and anger are condemned only outside of the battlefield for Kshatriya. So, you are a Kshatriya and your arrows are religious. Therefore, ma shucha, do not worry. You do not possess demoniac qualities. Prabhupada also echoes the statements of Baladeva Vibhushan and Vishwanatha Chakravarti in his commentary. Lord Krishna encouraged Arjuna by telling him that he was not born with demoniac qualities. His involvement in the fight was not demoniac because he was considering the pros and cons. He was considering whether a respectable person such as Bhishma and Drona should be killed or not. So he was not acting under the influence of anger, false prestige, or harshness. Therefore, he was not of the quality of the demons. For Kshatriya, shooting arrows at the enemy is considered transcendental, and refraining from such a duty is demoniac. Therefore, there was no cause for Arjuna to lament. Anyone who performs the regular principles of the different orders of life is transcendentally situated. So you can see, it's interesting how the previous acharyas, they pose these kind of extracurricular conversations, and then Prabhupada simplifies and just puts the points down in the commentary. He does this in many places. Of course, now that we accept the Gita as being spoken by God, at least I assume that everybody sitting here has the respect for this Shastra, you know, then we can now again dramatize and, you know, some of these comments. But Prabhupada says very soberly and systematically put them down so that the message is very clear and that people take it very seriously. Right. Now text 6.
Dva bhuta sargo lukes min daiva asura eva cha daiva vistara sha prukta asuram partam meshvinu.
O son of Pritha, in this world there are two kinds of created beings. One is called the divine and the other demoniac. I have already explained to you at length the divine qualities. Now, hear from me of a demoniac. So, Krishna gave six qualities, Dambha Darpa Abhimanascha, Kruta Parashamenacha, Adhanam. So, but now he's going to, in great detail, elaborate on the demoniac nature and characteristics. And he says that, I have already explained at length the divine qualities. So he's referring to all the previous chapters of the Gita, right? As far back as chapter 2, at the end he described what it was, the qualities of someone who is sthita pragya, situated in intelligence. And then in chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 9, he mentions a little bit. Chapter 12, at the end of chapter 12. And the middle of chapter 13, he described the processes of knowledge, which were also some qualities like cleanliness. And at the end of chapter 14, again. So he has enumerated many times in the Gita all of these divine qualities. So he says, I have already explained to you at length all of these divine qualities. Now I will explain in detail the demoniac qualities. Prabhupada comments here that those who are born with divine qualities follow a regulated life. That is to say, they abide by the injunctions in scriptures and by the authorities. One should perform duties in the light of authoritative scripture. This mentality is called divine. One who does not follow the regular principles as they lay down in the scriptures and acts according to his whims is demoniac. There is no other criterion but obedience to the regular principles of scriptures. No other criterion. This is it. And then again he says it. The only difference is that one class obeys the Vedic injunctions and the other does not. So he says it four times in this commentary, that this is the main thing. Because dva bhuta sarva lokesmin, in this world there's two kinds of people, daiva asura evacha, the divine and the demoniac. So this is how you can tell. The divine, he follows Shastra, the demoniac do not. And Krishna also concludes this chapter with these points. Same thing. Krishna will confirm what Prabhupada is saying in this commentary in the last few verses of this chapter. Okay, now text 7 begins the demoniac qualities. Let us chant.
Pravittim cha nivrittim cha janana vidurasuraha na shaucham na pichacharo na satyam tishavivyate.
Those who are demoniac do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Neither cleanliness, nor proper behavior, nor truth is found in them. So, pravittim cha, nivrittim cha. They don't know what to do or what not to do because they have no faith in the Vedas. And so they just act according to their own whims, which is based upon what is good for their senses. So that is their criterion for acting and not acting. Anyone who doesn't follow Shastra, then he's only left with his mind and senses to follow, which is focused on sense objects. So janana vidur asura, they don't know what, how to do it or how to act properly, or they don't know the difference between improper and proper action. Now shaucham, they're not clean, they're dirty. You know, you go to the airport and you're waiting for your flight in Delhi, you go into the toilet, you know, a guy comes in, goes to the toilet, and then he walks out. He doesn't even wash his hands. Sometimes he even comes to the mirror and kind of goes like this, you know, with his hands. And then he just rubbed all the urine and stool on his hand, on his head, as a chandan for his auspicious departure from Parbhumi. Have you seen these people there? They're not shocking. Then they don't know what is cleanliness. Prabhupada once he said that something about what kind of Brahmins are these Westerners. He actually was criticizing us. And he said after they eat, they take their handkerchief and go like this. That's all. Then finish. What kind of Brahmin is this? Napi chacharo. And they don't have good behavior. There's achar and vichar. Achar means behavior, and vichar means consideration. So they don't know what to do. They don't have proper behavior. Nasatyam, they're not truthful. Why are they not truthful? Because they're only concerned with their own body, on bodily pleasures. And they're asatya, and so they're not truthful. And even if they are propounding some philosophy, it's also based upon their bodily pleasures. And the acharyas give the story of the jackal and the vulture. You've heard this story already? The jackal and the vulture. One night, one day in the forest, a very beautiful young boy died. So the young boy died, and so his parents came, filled with lamentation and great sorrow. They were crying with great emotion over the dead body of the young boy. And at that time, there was a jackal in the forest, so he came over. And he began sympathizing with, oh yes, your son, he was a very nice boy. It's very good that you are glorifying him. He had such good qualities. This is the proper thing you should do. You should meditate on him and just absorb yourself in sweet remembrances of this boy on this day. You don't need bones to die. Actually, the statistics have been reported that, and this was in the 80s actually, that in the late 80s there was enough nuclear weaponry to which could kill the whole population of the earth like thousands of times over. And it was described that for each person, each man, woman, and child on the earth, there's enough weaponry which would be equivalent to something like 2 tons of TNT per person. This is how much power of nuclear weapons there are. I mean, even, 10 pounds of TNT can kill you, or 1 pound. What to speak of, 2 tons per person. 2 tons of TNT on your head, That's like, trying to kill a mosquito with a shotgun. It's useless, use of energy. I think there's something like 42 countries that now have nuclear weapons. In the old days, it was just the U.S. and Russia. Now there's 42 countries. Okay. Let's stop now.